listeners, Doug Padgett in 4:06 on Friday. And being that it's a Friday, all kinds of things, news wrap-ups, a little thought about the weekend up and coming. And in this case, not only a weekend, but also the launch into a new year, a new calendar year. It's Friday, so we talk to astrophysicist Paul Wallace here in a bit. And Eric and I are going to take on the New York Times news quiz.
All right, I'm excited.
That's, yeah, real tough. I mean, it's not quite the New York Times crossword puzzle toughness, but, you know.
What's the record low score?
Well,
it's
like 7 out of 10, but that's been on the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Minneapolis St. Paul Star Tribune website's news quiz. This one, they don't have one this week. At least I couldn't find it already. I think the kids are taking some time off. So we're going to have to take it national and go over there. But, you know, a bunch of other news happening, of course, on the political front. Donald Trump and his cronies continue to not know how to run a government. No shocker there. And, you know, we are just days away now from the House being in the control of the Democrats at the federal level, which is a really big deal. And I think is going to create all kinds of tumult. And so anyway, that's of course happening. A lot of talk about that next week. We'll get into that. But this isn't that weird week between Christmas and New Year's when everybody apparently seems to be off of work and not paying attention, which is why there is a government shutdown happening right now. It's kind of amazing that people just act as if people are getting a free vacation out of this, because some of these furloughed workers who are not allowed to come into work are still going to be paid, and people are talking about it like, you know, don't worry about it. It's just a big payoff for the federal workers. I don't think it's that way. I think it actually demeans the whole role of the government. Anytime there's these shutdowns, that's what's going on. There's a whole commentary happening, especially when it's led by Republicans, that is trying to say, you know, we don't really need the government anyway. I mean, they just get in the way. And the one place where I think that that's actually playing out, Eric, I don't know if you heard this story, but out at the Grand Canyon in Arizona, the state of Arizona ponied up the money, I think $64,000 or something, to do garbage pickup and general maintenance cleanup in the Grand Canyon Park, National Park, because the park rangers are off work. So they said there's no enforcement of any of the typical rules. No one to tell you when to leave the park, no one to keep you on the trails, no one to take your money at the door. The state of Arizona just said, you know, it's the holiday week. We need people to be going to the Grand Canyon. So they just said, we'll take care of garbage and sanitation and have at it. Wow. So I don't know. Maybe it's a set of conditions for a whole new Burning Man out there. It just sounds, if I could have gotten to the Grand Canyon, which is one of the just most amazing places on the planet, this would be the time to go, because it just feels like you could run free. Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know how much the federal rangers are doing out there to keep people off the wrong places and on the paths. But this would certainly be the time. Hey, a couple other big news stories here in the Twin Cities. The Sears store at the Mall of America is going to close. Sears decided to make that announcement today on the Friday, the last Friday of December, in the week between Christmas and New Year.
You know, I was just there on Christmas Eve. And I was telling everyone, it's the most depressing store I've ever been in, just because it was empty.
So?
Yeah.
No shoppers.
No shoppers, no items on any of the shelves.
You're kidding me.
So you foresaw that, but I was just thinking, wow, this is extremely depressing.
Well, they're not going to close until late March. I hope they're going to get some new material in. I'm glad that you said that you were there. Now I'm interested in what you were going to buy there. So let's deal with that first. What was it you were in the mood for around the Christmas time that brought you to Sears?
Yeah, well, I was already in Mall of America, and I was looking for some cast iron pans.
Oh.
As a present for my brother.
That's a nice choice. Did you find anything there?
Nope. They actually sell them, but they were not on stack.
Oh, that's awesome. You literally tried to go spend your money at Sears at the Mall of America and couldn't do it. And then they decide they're going to go out of business. Here's what surprised me about that story. I didn't know there was a Sears at the Mall of America, but apparently it's been one of the anchor stores for a very long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's other places you can find a Sears than Mall of America.
I guess, but then I thought, well, where did I think there was a Sears? And I didn't have an idea of that either. I thought there was one out there in Eden Prairie by the station.
Yeah, we have one in Burnsville.
A Sears, yeah. Huh. So I was a little surprised that they were still around, but apparently that's it. They're on their way out. Then I don't know what's gonna come in and be the big anchor store out there at the Mall of America. It seems like the Mall of America would be the one place where you could get it to work because you just have so much extra traffic. I don't know. That doesn't bode well, I guess, for a retailer if you can't make it at the Mall of America. I don't know if you ever make your way up to Anoka late at night on a weekend.
No,
but apparently since 2007, they've been having they've been able to serve alcohol till 2 a.m. In Anoka, which I thought you could serve alcohol anywhere until 2 a.m. in the state of Minnesota. But apparently that's not true. Some places it's midnight or 1 a.m. But they had this exemption to be able to serve until 2. And now apparently there are brawls and hoot nanny fights going on out on the street outside of the bars in downtown Anoka. So they're trimming back here after Monday night. They're trimming back the news or the hours of operation for serving alcohol up in Anoka. I can't imagine what's going on, but apparently people that want to get into fights, like groups of 40 people, have been ganging up and just throwing fisticuffs all around Anoka late at night in downtown Anoka. And see, this is why you can't have nice things in Anoka, because now they're going to close it down and stop it at 1 a.m. And the bartenders in Anoka are saying, I don't know if we're going to make money. We make 20% of our money a week between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. Well, that might be part of the problem, is that they're selling a lot of alcohol between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. But I didn't know you could come up with 40 people that would want to be in some sort of group fight if you tried.
I mean, that's amazing.
I wouldn't want to be in a group fight. I wouldn't have nothing to do with being in a group fight.
Have you ever tried to organize 40 people for anything?
For anything, right. Right. Well, apparently there's going to be a bunch of freebies up in Anoka looking for something to do. We should come up with a plan for them. Hey, Julie, you've got some thoughts about the Sears and Roebuck franchise.
Yeah. You know, I'm not knowledgeable about high finance, but I did read a long article some months ago. And basically what happened is, some very rich boys decided to make Sears go bankrupt, and they'd run away with the profits. And that's basically what happened with that. I'm kind of curious because they own Kmart, so I'm wondering if the remaining Kmart stores are going to close. There's a very, very successful one on Lake Street. And I'm kind of curious if Sears owns Kmart, if all the Kmart stores are going to closed too, but it's kind of a vulture capitalism kind of thing that was pulled by the powers that be, and so it's kind of a sad situation. But it's sad for so many employees is what it's sad for. But what do you think about that? And do you think that Kmart will disappear too if it's owned by Sears?
Well, I see in this article on the Star Tribune that it does say that the same company that owns Kmart has announced that it's going to close its Kmart in Rochester. And since filing for bankruptcy, the article reads, the retailer has announced plans to close more than a third of its Sears and Kmart stores around the country. So, yeah.
But eventually, all the Sears stores close, is what I heard.
I would have to think so.
In that article, but eventually they're all going to close. So, but in the near future, it just sounds like some of them, right?
Yeah, well, it says that the fate of 14 Sears hometown stores in smaller cities around Minnesota are uncertain, that apparently they think they can keep those going. But according to this article, they've closed them in the last 2 years in Burnsville, Coon Rapids, Eden Prairie, Maplewood, West St. Paul. It's there's apparently just no. And as you say, if it really was a bunch of funders who said, look, we as investors have more value in liquidating this than we do in operating it. Then you really don't know if the if the retail model had a chance or not. But I would imagine in a lot of those places, I don't know this because like you, I don't know anything about you know how you run retail, but I would imagine that those stores are going to be turned into something that's going to sell something, and you hope that the employees, many of whom found those right. jobs to be important to them, could find some kind of employment in whatever
maybe
fills
they could work as guards in Anoka, you know, to handle the rowdy people. So Anoka's become the Wild West. Actually, you know what? Deep down inside, I'm not that surprised.
Yeah, you know, Julia, I'm kind of with you. I've sort of felt that way about Anoka. Like, if my car broke down in Anoka, I'd be a little unnerved, frankly. I'm just saying. It's not always the, okay. It doesn't always feel like the safest place to be. Yeah, hey, thanks so much, Julia. Hey, Gary, you got a quick comment for us? We've got about a minute before we run into the commercial break.
She's talking about the rich destroying Sears, but they've done that for many years, but a lot of companies monopolize it. And what we really need in this country is a president that will do some trust busting like Teddy Roosevelt did way back with the last time we had these robber barons. And you know, another thing that's going on is these drug pharmaceutical giants are sticking their nose into the generics. And there's something on TV about 500 generics. They're gouging the heck out of us with them. I have a couple that are way up in price, hundreds of dollars. And generics are supposed to be dirt cheap your way around this brand name profiteering.
Well, Gary, thanks. And keep us up to date in 2019 about that. I know you've brought that up a number of times. It seems like such an important topic that you're on top of about how these drug prices continue to climb, and even with the generics. Really appreciate it. Hey, folks, we're going to be back here with astrophysicist Paul Wallace after the break. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Stop and listen for a second. Do you hear that? It's peace, quiet, and tranquility. After a busy holiday season, that's what you'll experience at Big Bear Lodge just off the Gunflint Trail. There's always an abundance of snow and winter activities like ice fishing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, and world-class cross-country skiing. Then cozy up in one of Big Bear Lodge's guest rooms or authentic woodsy cabins. Come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit brendingelectrolysis.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ+ is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ+ person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery, education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life can benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
listeners. Got your badge in. It's Friday, 4/21 here in the Twin Cities, and that means it's time to chat with our favorite astrophysicist, Paul Wallace. Happy Christmas. Hello. Mr. Wallace. How are you, buddy?
Happy Christmas to you too, Doug.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. And thanks for being part of making us such a star-studded radio program. See what I did there?
It's my pleasure.
I made a star joke. I've been thinking of that one all day.
I noticed that. That was clever. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Hey, and thanks for taking us through a little year-end review of all the things that have happened in space news this year. I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago how much it struck me that when you start paying attention to science and astrophysicists' comments and astrophysics, there's a lot of space news that goes on. And when you're not thinking so much about it, you really have no idea.
And a lot of it's really good news, too. I mean, you know, there are places in the world where things are working, it turns out. You know, a lot of our missions into space are working. We're learning things, and it's operating as it should.
That is a really great point.
Yeah.
Now, I hear people say things like, well, you know, that's because they've privatized all this and gotten it out of the hands of the government and all that kind of business.
I don't know about that.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's do a little news roundup, a little space roundup about what's been going on over the course of the year in space. Some really big news. You've given me a whole list, month by month, of like legendary news happenings.
Yeah, that have already happened. Yeah.
And we do want to remind people that if they want to give a call, you know, so they can raise their question for astrophysicist Paul Wallace, 952-946-6205, of course, is the number. So, but we're going to chat a little bit about the news that's been happening over the last year, the 2018, a great year in space kind of thing. All right.
Yeah, truly.
So, what happened back in January that was so newsworthy?
The press had a field day with a particular lunar eclipse that happened in January, on January 31st, and they called it, the press called it, the super blue blood moon.
Right.
Super blue blood moon happened on January 31st. Super means that the moon was larger than usual. It was larger in the sky than usual. It does not always appear the same size. It always is the same size, right? It doesn't get bigger and smaller. But sometimes it's closer, sometimes it's further away.
And that, again, has something to do with the elliptical nature of the...
That's right.
Of the route that it's taking.
And this eclipse occurred when the moon was particularly close. So that's what the super means. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a super blue blood moon. Super means that it was close, so it was large. Blue means that it was the second full moon of the month.
Oh.
Yeah, which is unusual. Only happens once every 7 or so years.
And that's where the phrase once in a blue moon comes from?
Yes, that's right. Now, why blue? I don't know. I don't know why blue. Why not green or orange? Yeah. But
those are the questions I'm supposed to ask in this little charade that we have going on here. I'm supposed to say, why do they call it blue?
Yeah, don't know. Got to do some research. Don't know why they call it blue. But anyway, so super, it was close. It was blue. It was the second full moon of January 2018. And it was blood because the moon, during a lunar eclipse, appears red. It doesn't disappear. It's in the shadow of the Earth, but it appears red, which probably freaked out people a long time ago who didn't know why it looked red.
I would imagine. And how often does that happen? How often is there a blood moon where it gives that red sort
of... That's not too uncommon. A couple times a year, actually.
Oh.
Maybe 3 times every 2 years.
And remind me again...
Say again
why that happens. Why does it look, does it look bloody?
Because light when light passes, you know, it's in the shadow of the Earth, but the shadow is not completely dark because some of the light gets bent gets refracted, kind of like on the cover of that Pink Floyd record. You know how the light gets bent?
Yeah, right.
On the Dark Side of the Moon cover, the light goes through the prism, it gets bent, but the red gets bent more than the purple. The red light shines onto the moon. It sort of bends around the Earth's atmosphere and shines on the moon, but it's the red light that hits the moon, not the purple light or the blue light. And so the moon looks red. That's the blood part. So super blue blood moon.
It was a great day. A super blue blood moon.
Too bad we here in North America couldn't see any of it.
Oh, is that true? I'd forgotten about that. So we missed the whole thing. It was a big news story.
I think the West Coast got it. I think the West Coast got it, but the East Coast where I live in Atlanta didn't get it. You might have gotten a little bitty bit of it.
Yeah, I think it was cloudy. I remember that now. It was all the big hype, and then and turned out to be nothing. All right, so that was the end of January, and an optical extravaganza for those who could see it.
That's right.
And then in February, the SpaceX Falcon Heavy launched.
Yeah, do you remember that launch? Do you remember that?
I don't remember
that. The red Tesla. Into space.
Oh, that's right. The automobile.
The red sports car with the astronaut guy in it.
I forgot.
They launched that into space. And the booster rockets, they landed them like in the ocean on these. The booster rocket, two of the booster rockets landed back at Cape Canaveral right there on their little target pads. The booster rockets landed, so they were reusable, which is crazy.
Crazy.
So that's one of Elon Musk's, big rockets. Falcon Heavy it was called, and it was the first Falcon Heavy to be launched by SpaceX, and it went beautifully.
And was there anything on that one? Did it get us an advancement other than the technology of the booster rockets being reusable?
No, just the technology. It was sort of proof of concept, and it also put a Tesla into space. Of course, that was its payload. Was that red sports car, which is on its way out towards Mars as we speak.
Is there any concern? I heard this come up in a little news story the other day. Is there any concern about too much garbage floating around in space, too much space junk, or is it sort of the landfills of the 1970s where people just thought there's plenty of room? Can just throw whatever you want.
In certain orbits, there is a concern. In what's called low Earth orbit, which is about 90 or 100 miles above the surface, which is where the space shuttle is. No, it's more than 100. I can't remember exactly how high up, but it's only a couple hundred miles up. So-called low Earth orbit. There's a lot of things orbiting at that height, and in particular orbits, there are concerns about space junk.
But are those things orbiting that are being used for something, or are they really just leftover pieces? Or
really just leftover pieces?
Yeah. Really, man, it's amazing. Just what every parent that tells their young teenager to clean up their room because it looks like a pigsty, you realize it's just a human condition that we're just gonna mess things up. It's gonna make
wherever,
a mess everywhere
wherever we go.
Wherever we go, it's unbelievable. Can't even leave no trace in outer space. That's my poem
for
today.
Well, too late.
Hey, we're going to come back here after a break and finish this up. And if you have a question for astrophysicist Paul Wallace, give us a call. 952-946-6205. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
This is Artbeat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horeb, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on a couple of interactive, all-ages arts events to squeeze in this weekend before your New Year's festivities. Brighten up the darkest time of year with science. During Illumination at the Science Museum of St. Paul, you'll find 5 stories of light-themed activities for all ages. From 5 to 9 p.m. tonight and tomorrow night, they'll dim the lights and invite folks to explore light and shadows, color and phosphorescence in their darkened galleries. Play with an LED Lego zipline and make your own glow-in-the-dark slime. Wander through a life-sized snow globe. Enjoy glowing cocktails and custom-brewed beer from Blackstack Brewing and much more. During this once-a-year tradition that celebrates light, you'll see the museum you love in a whole new way. All festivities are included in the exhibit gallery admission. To learn more about it and to reserve your tickets today, go to www.smm.org. If you're looking for something to do with your family this Sunday, check out Improv is for Everybody. In an effort to get more people of color aware and interested, Huge Theater's Diversity Officer is hosting a Person of Color Improv Jam this Sunday from 4 to 7 p.m. This is an opportunity to meet new people, to create, to play together, and to help start a new era where people of color are represented more on stage. This event is for people of color only, which includes participants and observers. This event is for all people of color only. It's for all ages and free of charge. Please come as you are. That's more than enough. You can find more information about the Person of Color Improv Jam this Sunday from 4 to 7 p.m. on Huge Theater's Facebook page. That's Art Beat for the week. I am Elizabeth Horeb, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Considering replacing your vacuum? What do you do with the old one? Throw it in the garage? Worse yet, throw it in the garbage? How about trade it in and save? A1 Vacuum in Roseville has been around forever, and they take trade-ins. When you trade in your old vacuum, you save. So if it's time to replace that old clunker headed for the garage or landfill, bring it in to A1 Vacuum in Roseville. You can find A1 Vacuum at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around negative 1. Saturday, sunny with a high near 14 and a low around 9. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 33 and a low around 23. Monday, a 50% chance of snow with a high near 29.
Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned Minnesota restaurants. Make sure the money you spend stays local. Featuring great restaurants such as Burger Mo's, The Bad Waitress, Cafe Latte, and more. Find a full list of restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hey, welcome back, AM 950 listeners. It's AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Friday, we get to talk with the astrophysicist, Paul Wallace. And if you have a question for him, 952-946-6205. Hey, Paul, we're running through a list of the highlights of 2018, and we have 10 months to go. So
yeah, we better hurry. But hey, before we go, there's approximately 20,000 pieces, known pieces of space junk in low Earth orbit, about 1,200 miles above the surface. 20,000 pieces of space junk.
Just you know, somehow I feel better the fact that someone's cataloged those and people aren't just like, I don't even remember what's up there. Like, what is it? I'm just glad to know that somewhere someone's got a checklist and they're saying we know what's floating around. Can they ever like go by with something and kind of bump all those away or gather them all up?
No,
or send some big,
no, that's not easy to do. It would not be worth the money.
Well, I don't even think there's some people who don't think anything's worth the money. Like the president of the United States doesn't think the government's worth the money, doesn't think, you know, military's worth the money, doesn't think anything's worth the money. All right. So here we go. In March, a big thing happened that wasn't Mars news, which dominated so much of the year. It was a sad story in March.
Right. Stephen Hawking died. Great scientist, great popularizer of science, and really quite an image himself in that wheelchair with his mind zipping all around the cosmos and him, you know, in that little chair.
Yes.
We lost him in March.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, there was something – I mean, the level of difficulty his life was. I saw the love story movie that I made about he and his wife. But there was something about – him speaking in that artificial intelligence kind of voice that somehow added to the mystique of
totally dead.
You know what I mean? Like if you're going to have the greatest science person that somehow he's not doesn't just it superhumanized him in a way. It's amazing.
It almost put him into the future in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't think it was all a gimmick, right? Yeah. It wasn't all just a gimmick though, right? That was a real deal. That wasn't just a shtick he was running. Okay.
But if you're looking for one, that'd be a pretty good one, wouldn't it?
That's the fodder for a good solid conspiracy story if you needed one.
Oh yeah. All right. So many.
And in April, that was a big launch month. So much news.
Yeah.
Only in April.
The test probe was launched, and that's a device that is going to be searching for planets around other stars. It's already found a bunch, but it was launched in April.
It has already found a bunch of planets around other stars.
Yeah, I don't know the number. It's somewhere near 100 or so. Goodness. But it was expected to. You know, it gets to work. That's another thing about science. It sort of works and does what it's supposed to. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's already well on its way to its goal.
That's good to hear. I still think they could figure out how to clean up after themselves before they brag so much about how well it all works. But we'll get back to that, you know. All right, in May.
Fair enough. We need a cosmic broom.
A cosmic broom. Like, wasn't somebody turn their minds to that? All right, in May, this was a I remember talking about this one. I didn't know what Europa was, but I remember this being a big story.
Yeah, Europa is a moon, is one of the big moons of Jupiter. And it is basically, if you think about like the North Pole, you know, it's an ocean covered in ice. Mm-hmm. This moon is like that all over. It's completely covered in ice, but it has liquid water underneath it. It's basically got more or less a global ocean underneath a global layer of ice. And back in May, we discovered sort of water vapor geysers, basically. You can think of it that way. On this moon, so some of that water was making its way up to the surface.
Yeah, and it just—I don't know—it just seems like with all that, I don't know, that H2O up there, it feels to me like there's got to be some kind of other organic life happening. In fact, I heard a story. I heard a story this week that was about. It was a TED talk of someone, you know, talking about how humans can live on Mars, this kind of thing, and the scientist was saying that they're doing a lot of work right now based on algae or fungi developing at Chernobyl where that radiation leak was. And
I didn't read about that.
Algae or fungi, it probably matters, but I can't remember which one it is, was able to use the radiation as its energy. So it's
as
propagating
its source.
As its source of energy. So she was saying, this is the kind of thing that allows us to start thinking about the changing the human genetic system so that because there's so much radiation on these planets that you start to alter over a few hundred years the human anatomy so that it can thrive off of radiation rather than radiation being the problem.
Right.
Mind-blowing.
Right.
So it makes you think there's probably some kind of life that long ago figured out how to use that radiation that we would say, well, you can't have the kind of life that we would recognize because radiation would be a problem.
Right.
That it's actually the source of life.
Right. You never know. I mean, all we have is what we know down here on Earth. And there's no particular reason why it has to be like this everywhere.
Right.
None at all.
Amazing. All right.
Speaking of life, in June, they discovered organic molecules, you know, carbon chains, basically, on Mars.
Unbelievable.
Back in June. Yeah, I know. So, and there used to be certainly liquid water on Mars. It used to be much warmer, so we don't know if we're looking at, you know, evidence of past life or if the molecules were, you know, how they were created. We don't know. We don't know what they
came
from,
but
they're
there.
Okay,
so in one of these, I don't know, somewhere along the trail of hearing this thing about the radiation fungi, which also should be the name of our punk band if we ever put a punk band together, radiation fungi. The person was saying, this other scientist was saying, when life is discovered on these places, these molecules, one of the big questions is this the remnant of more sophisticated life that has dissipated, or is it the genesis of life that's just starting to build? So,
no way to know that immediately.
Right. But that's so interesting in and of itself, because I've always thought, well, all those other life forms would have to be ahead of the Earth because the Earth is so young in comparison. But maybe you'd find places where you could sort of be watching the early genesis of molecules starting to take shape. And wouldn't that even be more interesting than having to sort of, I don't know, figure out the guesstimate
in
on
fact,
the past?
That seems more probable to me, that we would be finding life in the earliest stages, most likely.
Incredible. All right, so that gets us to June. Now we got to hustle. You only got a couple minutes left to get through six months worth of news stories.
Also in June, Space Force.
Space Force. And didn't they, aren't they moving ahead with this? Like, didn't Mike Pence just stand up in front of the Air Force cadets and say, no, it's for reals? Like, Spaceballs and Space Force, these are real happenings. I think that's actually something the Trump administration is moving ahead on, Space Force.
I'm sure they are. I'm not sure if anybody else is, but I'm sure they are. Yeah.
Good one.
So let's see, what are the big ones? We've only been halfway through the Earth. So let's think of the biggest ones that we can.
I like September. I like September about September, and then this little news nugget you threw out a couple weeks ago about China landing a probe on the backside of the moon. So this about Japan. Let's just mention those two.
Yeah, back in September, Japan did land a rover on an asteroid called Ryugu. If that's the Anglo way of saying it, anyway, Ryugu put a little lander down on an asteroid, which nobody's ever done before.
Wow.
It's not a very big asteroid. None of them are that big, but we landed it, and it's looking around, taking pictures. And that was the Japanese who did that.
Pretty impressive. And I know you didn't list this as the big December news, but I thought it was big December news about China landing a probe of some variety on the backside of the moon.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They did, and I don't think it's have they done it? I don't know if they've done it or not yet, but they certainly sent it up.
I thought I heard just the other day.
I think it has landed.
That they landed it, and were, I don't know, getting readings or something from the backside of the
moon.
Yeah,
they have in fact landed it.
All right, we've got a couple of callers for you here, Paul. We've got a couple of callers for you. We're going to start with Paul in Edina. He's got a little comment about space junk. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, great show. I was just wondering if some of that space junk up there is actually lethal to some of our space missions or the space station. Isn't it flying super fast?
Great question.
You mean lethal in the sense of it can put a hole in the side of the space station? Is that what you mean? Do you mean lethal in the not in the sense that it's plutonium or something, but in the sense that it will put a hole in the side of it?
Yeah, like that. He's asking, like, couldn't it be lethal in the fact that it would, like, run into something or hit a?
Yes. But space is pretty big, and the probability of that happening is pretty low. But the answer to your question is yes, that is a possibility for it to destroy part of a space station or something like that.
But so this is going to test my knowledge of space. Isn't everything moving in the same direction at the same speed if it's in that orbit? If it's just space junk?
No, they can be moving in any given direction.
All right, there we go. So it's just
they're moving at the speed of a bullet, basically. I mean, the relative speeds are faster than a 22 bullet. So
they could be moving in opposite directions, like bumper cars, and they're just flying around. It could be ramming into each other, and the hope is that space is really big and it won't happen.
All right, we
have 1 minute left for Mark from Fridley. Hey, Mark, got a question about meteorites or a comment?
Well, first, the sun is radiation. If we didn't have a magnetosphere, we wouldn't have life on the planet. And Stephen Hawking said that the biggest threat to humanity is artificial intelligence, not nuclear weapons or climate change. But we just had the biggest reported meteor of the year over in Oka County. It was seen from Cambridge to Chanhassen. And every report said possible or likely asteroid. So why do they say, disclaimer, possible or likely or most likely? Because if it wasn't an asteroid, what was it?
Yeah, great question.
It could have been a piece of space junk.
Oh my!
It could have been a piece of space junk. That's the only other possibility I could think of.
Or a spaceship of people that are big gangs that then are landing and starting bar fights in Anoka, because that was also happening in Anoka. So it could be that. Could be a mind takeover. Hey, great question, Mark. Paul, thanks for your calls. Astrophysicist Paul Wallace, Happy New Year. And I look forward to talking to you in 2019, the real year.
Happy New Year, Doug.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Happy New Year. Hey, we'll be back here with the news quiz after the break. AM 950. That's the voice of Minnesota.
Total Dog Company exists for people who are serious about their dogs. People who want the best nutrition and the best gear for their dogs. Total Dog Company's mission is to provide high-quality, practical food and gear for dogs and only dogs. Nothing frou-frou or frivolous. Nothing with suspect ingredients. No cat food or wild bird food. Totally dog, from head to wagging tail. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Stop and listen for a second. Do you hear that? It's peace, quiet, and tranquility. After a busy holiday season, that's what you'll experience at Big Bear Lodge just off the Gunflint Trail. There's always an abundance of snow and winter activities like ice fishing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, and world-class cross-country skiing. Then cozy up in one of Big Bear Lodge's guest rooms or authentic woodsy cabins. Come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Never heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hey friends, welcome back. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Eric and I have got our work cut out for us. We're going to be doing the news quiz of the day. And this one today is coming from the New York Times, and so it's going to be an international flavor and a national flavor rather than just the local flavor that we often get, because I don't think Star Tribune is doing their news quiz this week. All right, Eric, are you ready for this? There's 11 tough questions.
And I don't know if I'm ready, but
to not only do a recap. Yeah, there's no this is like the test is happening now. There's no more study, no more preparation. We take it as it is, and we see if we've been paying attention to the news this week, which could be tough because this was a week with a lot going on. There was Christmas Eve on Monday. There was Christmas Day on Tuesday. This radio show was over at Chocolat Celeste on Wednesday. That's worthy in of itself. And it's we had a snow event yesterday, so it's been a really busy week. All right, but here they are, 11 questions. We'll see how we do. As a result, question number one, of the partial government shutdown, employees at 9 of the 15 cabinet-level departments have either been furloughed or they must work without being paid in this pay period. They might be paid in later, but they're either working without pay currently or they've been furloughed. Which federal agency of the four I'm going to list was not affected by the shutdown? Was it the Department of Commerce, the Department of Veteran Affairs, the Internal Revenue Service, or NASA?
Was not shut down? I'd have to go with IRS.
That's what I guessed too. I was just testing my little iPad software here, and that's the one I guessed. Wrong.
Really?
The Internal Revenue Service apparently is either not a government, I don't know if it's a trick question, or they're shut down, which, for someone who still has to get his past year's taxes in, I feel pretty good about that. Anyway, it's the Department of Veteran Affairs.
Okay,
they're the ones that are still going, which I guess is good. If you're gonna keep pitching war as the solution, we should probably take care of people that have to go fight our battles. A tsunami, question number two, begins in Indonesia last Saturday. Which, remember, Indonesia is a series of hundreds of islands. So when a tsunami happens, it's really like the whole nation series of islands is all beachfront. Unbelievable. But a tsunami in Indonesia last Saturday killed more than 400 people and injured 1,500 or more. The giant wave struck the country's two most populous islands. Java is one. What's the other? Deep question. Serious New York Times attitude. Bali, Lombok, Sulawesi, or Sumatra? Do you have any idea, Eric? Any of these?
I think it's Bali.
All right.
I know that's a part of Indonesia.
Nope. It was Sumatra.
Okay.
And I hope that doesn't affect the coffee or the wine from there. All right. Recent question number three. Recent market volatility, which again is just the stock market and the NASDAQ. Recent market volatility is threatening to push stocks into a bear market, ending the longest bull market on record. A bear market is defined as a sustained market loss of more than what percent from its peak? 10% sustained market loss, 15%, 20%, or 30% sustained market loss from its peak? I think I know this one. Do you have a guess?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd go with 15.
I think I heard 20. So if you don't mind, I'm going to guess 20. It's 20%.
All right.
20% loss. Then they now say you're no longer in a bull, but you're in a bear. And it's something has something to do with like charging and protecting or hibernating. I'm not sure why they use bulls
and bears.
Oh, is that
what it comes from?
It's something like that. Yeah. The bull is like charging and moving forward, growing.
I always thought they're both pretty ferocious animals.
Yeah, they are. They are. I don't know which would be more devastating to be in the sights of. I think a bear. I think a bear. They seem smarter than a bull. Like a bull seems sort of single functioning devastation. Like they run into you or step on you, and that's about it. I really don't know. Patrick Sheehan, you know who this is? He's the person chosen by President Trump to serve as acting defense secretary when the president of the United States threw a tantrum and fired his defense secretary after the defense secretary resigned. Unbelievable. So anyway, President Trump has chosen Patrick Sheehan as acting defense secretary. You know, he keeps doing this. He's done acting. The president of the United States has done acting with the chief of staff and now an acting attorney general and an acting a defense secretary. I wonder if it's because he feels like he's just acting as president. Like it's just thinks this is what I did there. Just a drama.
With the puns today.
I'm punny. It's a punny day. So his Patrick Sheehan, who's the acting defense secretary, is a former executive at which of these companies? Boeing, Booz Allen Hamilton, greatest name, Lockheed Martin, or Northrop Grumman?
I think I know this one. I think it's Boeing.
Okay. I'm going with you then, because I don't know. Boeing, you've got it. It was Boeing. I wonder if he's going to work out a better deal on those airplanes. Remember when the big thing was how much you wanted to pay for Air Force One remodel? That was Trump's big thing coming in.
Yeah.
Good Lord, this guy. Everything he touches breaks. I mean, he's just. All right. Question number five. The International Whaling Commission. Did you know that was a thing? The International Whaling Commission established a moratorium on commercial hunting of whales that took place in 1986. Which country announced this week that it was leaving the commission? The International Whaling Commission's moratorium in place since 1996. Was it Canada? I would normally make a joke that that's such a Canadian thing to do, but Japan, Russia, or the U.S.?
So I know the two big whaling countries are like Japan and Greenland. So mm-hmm. I'd have to go with Japan.
All right. I think it's the U.S., but I'm going to go with you and say Japan. You're right. It was Japan. I just thought it'd be a thing the U.S. would pull out of. We got to hurry. Question number six. Demonstrations to protest rising gas prices as well as shortages of food and fuel escalated this week into demands that President Omar Hossein al-Bashir step down. Mr. Bashir, who has been in power since a military coup in 1989, is the leader of which African country? Congo, Mali, Sudan, or Zambia?
That is the Sudan.
Look at you. Boy, that was confident. It is the Sudan. Question number seven. Which magazine announced that it would press charges against its former reporter accused of systematically faking interviews and articles? Was it The Economist, Le Point, Der Spiegel, or Time? I don't know this story.
I have no idea. I'd say Time.
I'll pick Time with you. Nope. Der Spiegel. I was going to say that, but I felt like I was just blaming the Germans. I feel like I'm always blaming the Germans. I don't know if we're going to get these done. Colin Brady, a 33-year-old American, competed in an unprecedented trip across what this week? Antarctica, the Arctic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, or the Sahara? Antarctica.
Yeah, yes, I'll go with you.
Yeah, it was Antarctica.
Ooh,
okay, go to New York Times. There's three questions left. They're not as exciting as the first nine that we did, but AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Happy New Year, everyone, and we'll talk to you on the last day of the year.